Thank you for calling BBS Radio. This is Seth. How can I help you? Inside and outside of our doors, the ongoing display of family violence and destruction has become an all in. Inside and outside of our doors, the ongoing display of family violence and destruction has become an all-encompassing reality, in which no solution is forthcoming and no end in sight. Preachers, philosophers, and great thinkers of our day are unsuccessful at offering a viable answer. In verse, it states that no viable solution will be effective. For this reason, I invite you to listen 60 minutes to bbsradio.com to Reverend Blake Carrington Johnson, experts in the field, pastors, ministers, and guests, who will pose sensible strategies and workable ideas to a problem that has plagued humanity since the dawn of time. In verse, it states that no viable solution will be effective. For this reason, I invite you to listen 60 minutes to bbsradio.com to Reverend Blake Carrington Johnson, experts in the field, pastors, ministers, and guests who oppose sensible strategies and workable ideas to a problem that has plagued humanity since the dawn of time. For this reason, I invite you to listen 60 minutes to bbsradio.com to Reverend Blake Carrington Johnson, experts in the field, pastors, ministers, and guests, who will pose sensible strategies and workable ideas to a problem that has plagued humanity since the dawn of time. Inside and outside of our doors, the ongoing display of family violence and destruction has become an all-encompassing reality in which no solution is forthcoming and no end in sight. Preachers, philosophers, and great thinkers of our day are unsuccessful in offering a viable answer. In verse, it states that no viable solution will be effective. For this reason, I invite you to listen 60 minutes to bbsradio.com to Reverend Blake Carrington Johnson, experts in the field, pastors, ministers, and guests, who oppose sensible strategies and workable ideas to a problem that has plagued humanity since the dawn of time.
Thank you all for tuning in once again to Ending Family Destruction. I thank all of the viewers for tuning in 2 weeks ago when I was live from Las Vegas. Las Vegas is an interesting place. There's a lot of destruction everywhere, but Las Vegas, for some particular reason, have a whole different aura about it. Today I have a studio guest, and I also will be taking call-ins in the next couple of minutes. My studio guest is going to talk a little bit about destruction and some of the things he's experienced, and he's a counselor as well. He does chemical dependency counseling, and so we'll be sharing and listening and answering questions as well. Also, some new news. I'm going back to a pre-recorded sermon that I'm going to be doing every other week on Station 3. Now, I don't know the exact time, but I want you to look in on my website at reverendblakejohnson.com, and there should be a click on where you can get right on to the show as well. And I'm going to have different ministers in which I'm going to be featuring as well that I've worked with in the ministry. So that's something new to talk about as well. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about God and all of you today who have issues or problems that you need to figure out some positive solutions and direction. So as we start now, the call lines is now open while we start our discussion with David. How you doing today, Dave?
I'm doing fine.
Okay. Yes. So tell me, family destruction, what was it like going through what you went through as far as losing or losing something very important to you, losing your mate? What was that like, Dave?
Well, it was tough. It was a difficult time in my life. I was going through some problems of my own. I had a problem with chemical dependency. And God opened up some doors for me. And he's been working in my life, and he's been trying to put this stuff back together. I know God's not in the market of destroying families, so that's not his goal. I know that. But my family was taken from me. I had a wife and two small children, and I lost all of that during my addiction. But God stepped in, and he's working through me now, and he's working with me, trying to put all that back together.
That is so wonderful. I know some callers like to call you today and just to probably just congratulate you that you're getting back on track. You know, it's you give me hope. You know, it's just good to know that God can just come in people's life and make a difference. And that's why I do what I do. And then God has blessed you. You have a job now. What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm an associate counselor at a treatment facility. I'll be working with adolescent teens. It is a blessing. God's blessing with the ability and the. I'm going to be able to try to catch young people. You know, our youth are so important. And, so I've been blessed with the opportunity to work with young people and try to catch them at an early age. In the early age of their addiction. Hopefully I'll be able to guide them and show them and share with them a little bit of my own experience, and also hopefully I'll be able to touch them, and hopefully God can come through me and talk to them. And it's just a beautiful thing. You know, God is good.
That's wonderful. Callers, the line is now open for discussion. If you have any issues or anything, just give us a call at our numbers, and it's listed on the website. In the meanwhile, I'm going to keep on discussing with our interviewer, and basically we're going to go over more concepts as to what it is that can help us get our families back in order. So as we discuss the strategies, feel free to call in. Whatever your problems may be, we'll be glad to help or try to assist you in your problems. So it's nice to have a guest, and this is a good experience, because a lot of times people don't understand that there is hope when your family falls apart. For whatever reasons, God is good. And that's one of the foundation. I've known Dave for almost 2 years now, and I've seen him put his life back together. So that makes me feel confident in that the field that I'm in, that is not a hopeless field. So number is available online, so tune in, and call the lines open. So what else? Tell me more about what your goals are now in terms of family reconciliation, or what do you plan on doing, and what's going to be different this time versus in the past?
Well, my goals are to basically start all over, you know, start anew with God first in my life, first of all. When all of this happened, when I lost my family the first time, I turned it over to God. You know, it came at a time where I wasn't really prepared for it. I wasn't expecting it. And the way I got through it, basically, is I turned the whole thing over to God. And I told him that I couldn't handle it. And he took it off of me. And he took that burden himself. And that relieved me of that pressure. And things just got better. And in time, he brought my family back in contact with me. So now I know that as long as I keep God first and do his will and not mine, that's basically my plan. My plan is to have my family be put back together as God has been.
So what do you feel caused the destruction to start with? I mean, what kind of mindset were you in during this period of time that that aided in this person that you love so much and his family falling apart? What was going on that would cause such heavy destruction?
Well, you know, I mean, as you know, as a chemical dependency specialist, most of the time, or majority of the time, I have to say, the actual chemical dependency is not really the problem. There's always something deeper that lies beneath the wound. And with me, it was other issues that I just masked with my addiction. But as far as putting it back together now, being clean and sober and looking at this as a new man, as a new man of Christ, as a Christian, I see my whole life, my whole family, the whole family structure in a different light, especially having God as the head. It's just a beautiful thing. I can't explain it. You know, I'm not running the show anymore. So, you know, the things that I do and the things that I say and the way I lead my family, it's none of my doing now. So it's a lot easier to operate a family when you got someone else running.
You know, we had a caller about 2 weeks ago, and the caller had a similar situation, but this was a woman telling her side of it. What kind of what should a woman understand when a man is caught up in addiction? What should she do that's not enabling? I mean, how should she handle this? Now that you've seen both sides as a counselor now and both as the person that was out there doing...
Well, first of all, I would tell her to, first and foremost, she's got to take care of her family. I mean, if there's children involved, she has to do what's best for her family and for her children. No matter what he says, no matter what he does, the children and her family have to come first. I mean, God says that the man, of course, should be the head of his household, with God being the ultimate head. But to be the head of the household, you have to be right. You have to be right with God. You have to be right with yourself. And she should follow you then. But if you're not doing right, then she has no obligation to follow of the head that's not living a good life. So my advice to any female, I mean, if you're in a relationship with any man that's in the middle of addiction, you have to do what you have to do to take care of yourself. And eventually and hopefully with prayer, he will come around. He will get back on track. And then, only then, you need to be obedient. And you need to follow. And you need to let him lead his household.
That is so profound. You're listening to David, a counselor here who has put his life together, and you listen to Professor Johnson while we work through the things that seem to be destructive in our lives. He broke down his situation of what he went through and some of the circumstances in which he really just lost his direction. And one of the things that I work on and we talk about in this show is that when you lose your connection with the higher power, with your spiritual understanding and relationship, there's only one thing you have to do, is that you have to repent. You have to turn away from your wicked ways, and you have to consider what you've been doing. And I think that revelation for David seems to be the thing that has really lifted him up. I've watched him this last year and a half, 2 years, and man, God has really stepped in, and it seems to me like you had to surrender. Could you tell me a little bit more about what that was like to turn over your will when you're kind of a strong-minded person? And for you, Dave, I know that wasn't easy. So, I mean, what did that entail?
No, it's not. It was easy. Yeah, it was easier than it might sound. Because I hit a point where there was no other way to go. And in the addiction world, they speak of either death or jail. Those are the options that you have in the addiction. And neither one of those was an option for me. So it was a lot easier. And I've known Christ all my life. I was raised in a Christian family, my mother and father, and I have 9 other siblings, all very active in the church. So it wasn't a huge deal for me to to turn back around because I actually turned away from God at one point in my addiction, and all I had to do is turn back around. And because he said, as you know, he never left me. I was the one that left him. So my surrender, I had to hit that point. I had to hit the lowest point in my life. And that's when, you know, the devil took everything from me. He took away what I thought was the most important thing in my life, which is my family. And that was my low point. And at that point, I knew that there was only one Savior. There could be only one other way to get that back. And that's when I surrendered.
Now, but you didn't just do it by yourself. You had some help. Now, you were a part of an organization that was structured enough to help you get things back in perspective. Now, what's your perspective on treatment and working with the spiritual model versus some of the secular treatment places out there who's claims to do the same thing, but something's missing because of their success is not as great. So what was it that did it for you in treatment?
Well, I was blessed. I did enter into a treatment facility. It was a six-month program.
Where was it at?
It was in Seattle. And it was a Christian-based facility. So I was blessed that I found a place like that. And what I say about for treatment facilities, they are only a step for you to use or to have God use them for you to have time to put for God to use through them for you to better yourself. I mean, don't go into a facility. I mean, you can't go into a facility thinking that you're going to find the answers there. I mean, the answer is always in the same place. God is his answer. The facilities, you can use the facilities, you can use the time, 6 months, 30 days, whatever the amount of time there is in these facilities, to work on yourself, to get closer to God. Those are the things that I did. I used the time in that to get closer to God, to strengthen my faith, to grow in the Word. Those are the kind of things I use. And then along with those, I was fortunate enough to have counselors like yourself. And you get the educational side of the addiction. So I suggest that you do a little research. You find some of the treatment facilities with a Christian background. Check on the certificates with the counselors. Make sure everyone's certified and some of the credentials and see, you know, if you can find one with a Christian base, I would suggest that. That's helped me a lot.
That's been the key, huh? And you had a good support system. I know you had a couple of reverend friends that came to the graduation, and they seemed to be really supportive of you. How important it is to have a support system that when most people want to give up on you, that they were there as well. I mean, what kind of contribution did that make towards your recovery?
Oh, I'm blessed.
Hello?
Yes.
Someone's calling.
I was calling.
Oh, okay. Some problems with my family, and you all was talking about how God can turn things around for us.
Yes, caller. God can definitely do that. So what can we do for you today?
Yes, I was having problems with my kids, and I'm a single parent, and, you know, and I just needed a word of encouragement today. So I can go on, you know, by talking to you all, I feel that I can be stronger in the Lord. If you all can just, you know, pray with me today.
Okay, we'll be glad to pray with you. What would you like to pray about in particular?
You know, I have two children. They are 15 years old, and I'm a single parent. I have a boy and a girl, and I just need a little word of encouragement to go on.
Okay, we can do that. Why don't you just close your eyes while we pray?
Uh-huh.
Heavenly Father, yes, could you close your eyes while we pray?
Yes, sir.
We could catch and agree? Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, right now we just call upon your name. We catch and agree, and we pray, Lord, that right now this caller, that you bless and protect her. Bless and protect her children, Lord. Bless them with the mission and the will to be like you, Lord, to have your mind. Guide them in the right way and give them the strength to be good children and be obedient. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I want to know, like, I have a son, and, you know, it's hard to deal with him. Could you give me some advice about that?
Now, what's happening with your friend?
Well, you know, he want to be, like, the man of the house and stuff, and, you know, because he feels like he's the only man in the house, and he just want to grow up fast.
And how old is he?
I don't know. He's like 15, and, he graduated early and stuff, so now he feel like he want a car and everything. He just want all the money and do what he want to do. I don't know what to do.
Are you a single parent?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What I want to suggest is that when you deal with kids and you're a single parent, that you put your kids around positive male role models. It's really helpful if you can get them involved with some type of organizations or something where you can have big brothers or something to that nature where you need something to model after. Now, women are great, and I love you guys. You guys do wonderful with children, but you can't be a man. And they need a solid male figure. Dave will tell you that's important. So I believe that if you put him in that environment, then things will be a lot better for him in the long run, because then he has something to model after as far as what a man.
His uncle is a preacher, a pastor, and he go to church with his uncle.
Okay, well, that's the start, but sometimes pastors don't have a lot of time to actually spend individually with nephews and stuff like that. So what I recommend that he tries to find an organization or some type of group that he can be involved with on a weekly basis, and so that it can be a support system for himself, and that he can share things and male issues that sometimes women can't relate to, or that he can't always discuss with a woman because he might feel that it's not the right thing to talk about with his mother. Okay?
But I have another question about my daughter. We have a problem with her because she was calling information and trying to get on the internet, trying to find her dad and stuff. And, you know, I don't know what to do about her. Because she's...
Well, you know, most girls do want to know who their fathers are and want to be connected with them. And what I would do if I was you, I'd do the best I can to help her to locate her father, because having a father involved is always going to be balanced for, it's going to make a child feel better. Otherwise, a lot of times they can end up their whole life searching for a man through their father. But sir,
he really don't want nothing to do with her, and then she's going to get her feelings hurt. And I already told you he don't want nothing to do with her.
Right. But you know what? Whether we like it or not, we can't interfere then with that, because that's going to be something that she needs to find out for herself then. So I would suggest that you let her do what she needs to do until she reaches what she finds out for herself. Because if you say it, it's not going to mean anything. Let her find out for herself. And yeah, she might experience some pain, but you can't protect your child from everything. But it sounds to me like you're a real good mother and you're doing the best you can. So I want to thank you for this time for your caller. Right now I'm expecting another caller. And we have David in the studio, so we're going to continue on. Please give us a call back on our next show 2 weeks from today. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, caller.
God bless you.
All right. Here we are. More possible destruction. A young single mother with kids. It's interesting, you know, dealing with those kids. He's going with some problems. Sounds to me like there's a lack of a male role model. Did you ever experience anything like that? Any of your friends, Dave, ever experienced the lack of a male caretaker?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, I grew up in a family with a stepdad, which is my father. But I've never met my biological father. My mom married a man that raised ten children, and none was his biologically.
Mm-hmm.
So this is almost unheard of in today's society. So I can relate to that. As we were about to speak about earlier, before the phone call, the two brothers that I grew up with, one's now in Denver and one's now in California. One of the young men, I call him young men now. One of the young men, his father basically raised the three of us. We related to him, so I can. I'll vouch for what you said to the young lady, to the young caller. It's so important to have a male role model. I have children. I have male children of my own. And during my addiction, lost touch with my boys. And we're still on the road of healing right now. And we're praying and we're asking God to heal this family, my family right now. But it is so important. I totally believe that a positive male role model is irreplaceable.
Sounds to me like you had one, though. So I guess the point here in this case is, what about finding your original father? I mean, what about that drive? What could that be problematic in that has something to do with even the substance abuse issue, some underlying reasons or excuses, people might say, that led you to addiction? What kind of drive wanting to know or be a part of your father who may not want you and feel rejected is what she's talking about,
you know,
the caller.
You know, Professor, I'm going to leave that up to you. the psychological part of this, I'm going to leave that part up to you. In my case, my father that raised us did a wonderful job. I'm very proud of him. I'm happy. He did the best he could, and I love him to death. So I never met my biological father. In my case, again, it didn't deter me from doing anything, or I don't put any blame on him.
Okay.
So in my case, I would say no, but under case-by-case situations, again, Professor, you know, it might change.
Let's see if we got any more callers on the line. Do we have any callers on the line that want to talk about any of their issues as me and David sit here and discuss family destruction? If not, we shall continue on. But you know, the thing, Dave, I really want to know about is that drive. Because sometimes that drive to know your father, it seems to me like it becomes an excuse for people to say, you know, I don't have a father, I want to know, and the mother don't care if I know the father or not, but I like to know.
You know what I found? I found in my case that just talking to you about this and just thinking about this just now, I think it makes a difference if you had an active father in your life at one time and then he left.
Yeah.
Compared to never seeing him before, in my case.
Okay.
I mean, it's an old cliche, but you can't miss what you've never had. You know, it's the same. And I can see where it would totally be different for a young man or even a young woman to if they even had a taste of a male or a father in their life, and then he disappeared for whatever reason, addiction, jail, or
other marriages,
marriage, whatever. Yeah. I can see where that might cause some confusion and some hurt in their adult life, but. But for me, again, I never met him. I never saw him. I didn't miss him. So
out of sight, out of mind.
Professor, you can analyze something like that.
Well, when I was in Las Vegas, I seen some families that looked very happy. But then after I got out the air, I realized after talking to some of them again, they weren't as happy as they seem. And a lot of times because they didn't do family activities, they didn't do certain things, and the vacation for a lot of them was a facade. They were just there playing a role, but they weren't really happy. And sometimes things are not good until it's taken away. Why is it that you have to lose something before you really realize what you got? Why do you have to lose everything before a person realizes that they want that?
Well, you know, part of God's plan for us all is to be humble. So, I mean, if you step out of yourself, I mean, I believe that you have to be in faith and in Christ, you have to be humble. You have to be fearful. You have to be obedient. And these are some of the things that if you're not any of those things, and I'm not saying that God is, because trust me, I was told by someone a lot wiser than I am, God is not in the business of destroying families.
Okay.
He's in the more of a business in putting families together. But saying that, if you're not obedient, if you're not faithful, if you're not fearful, you can miss out on some of the blessings. that God can provide for you. So I said all that to say some of the families that you might be talking about that you saw that you thought might be living in this facade, they just maybe they're not able to receive some of the blessings that God has for whatever reason.
Whatever reason. Now you're working with young folks. What's going to be your strategy for young boys, especially? What's going to be your strategy? Because addiction isn't their only family, the only problem. Family issues, what we're discussing now, is going to be a lot of what you have to deal with. How are you going to tell them to deal with some of their issues? And how do you? What do you think it's going to take for them to open up enough to you and be comfortable with you in order to help you to help them through their addiction?
Real easy. Action speaks louder than words. And it's the way I'm going to approach this. Being a role model, now again, I have an opportunity to be a positive role model to young men. And my actions will speak louder than anything I can say to these young men. What I do, the way I act, the way I portray myself to them will speak volumes. And the way they see me from day one, will say it all. And I believe that from that point, once that's established, that I'm consistent, that I show up every day, that I do the same thing in a positive way, then I believe the dialogue will open up.
Well, that I kind of agree, because kids are very observant, especially young boys. You can't be a hypocrite in this game. They can figure you out.
Especially young kids now.
Yeah, so you'll be working with a population of kids that are pretty slick, first of all. Because when you have an addiction, you know how to get your drugs, you know how to get your alcohol, you know how to get your substances, and you know how to survive. And so some of these people you're going to be dealing with are going to be really slick. And so they're going to manipulate you. They're going to try to manipulate you with their issues, with their family issues. Some of them may even manipulate you where they ain't got a father. You got to be prepared for that. I believe is there a caller on the line? They just like us talking. See, that's what it is. you know, but that's okay. I love this interview. Is really good because this is going to be an archive where people can look deep down inside and see some mythology here and some understanding, because destruction is happening everywhere. There's only one way to get out of destruction. You got to make up your mind that you really had enough. Otherwise, this world that you caught up in will really tear you apart. This world has no mercy for us. It has no problem taking everything away. And then the selfishness that goes with the addiction is one of the hardest things. How did you get over the selfishness that me, the I statement, I must be this and I got to have that? And that's part of the disease, too. How do you tell young folks to get rid of, it's all about me, 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 me?
I give all honor and glory to God. There's only one way to do this. There's only one way, and it's to turn your life over to God. That is the only way. I believe that they have a 12-step program. There are steps. There are programs for addiction, but addiction, like you said, it's not the only issue that I'm going to be dealing with inside here. I say it all starts with God. That's a good foundation. That's a good step.
Okay. Well, what after God? Because a lot of them, you know, in your program, are you allowed to talk about God?
Actually, yes.
Okay.
I am. This job is such a blessing. It will allow me to open up with my beliefs. Not in a pushy way, but I will be able to speak with the young people about my beliefs when asked.
So there is a procedure. So
yeah,
in order to talk about God, you have to be asked. So that's interesting. You know, when I worked in the secular world per se, before I came to the Salvation Army where I worked, it was different. Because then, when I was in the secular world, unless they talk about God first, like you're saying, I could never bring him up. And then, even then, I had to use the word higher power. Now, I don't mind calling God higher power, because he has many names. Elohim, he's got many names. So it's not as long as we're talking about the same God, that's fine. But sometimes we play with words, and, you know, it's funny. We could talk about Satan and all those things, but then the minute we talk about God, everybody wants to, man, why are you talking about God? That's, you know, it's hard to talk about God in jobs. And then our job, we really need to tell people their spiritual perspective is because they're spiritually dead. And how do we bring them back to life without talking about God? It's impossible. So I'm glad that you're at a facility that's going to allow you to speak spiritually, because that's going to give you the best chance to help those young boys that you're working with. But outside of that, you also still need to mix it up with some strategy and psychology. And so what do you think that process is going to be like to teach people theoretically what's happening as well?
Well, you know, starting with the religious faith makes the rest of the job pretty easy. Because if I can soften, or if God actually can soften their hearts to hear, and if they're receptive to me, then we can get into the books. Then we can get into the whens, the wheres, the whys, the how, on how the not only the addiction but the other personal problems in their life started. So I go back to it all has to start with being accepted or being receptive of my message on what I am trying to offer them. And as long as we can get there through Christ, I believe I won't have any problems. Yes. Young people.
That's wonderful, man. I'm excited about your work, and I think we need more of this. We need more male role models, and you're African-American, so I'm African-American, and I believe that, you know, sometimes we really don't have a lot of professionals that's in the field that's helping ours, and sometimes that's important, you know, and Caucasians are great counselors as well. I've worked with some good Indian people as well, but for us, sometimes we need some individual attention of understanding our problems and our issues. So I believe that your background will really be an exception to where you're working at, and I believe that the organization is going to benefit if you continue on with your experience and your background. And just remember, you know, all we have to do as counselors is just put the message out there. We don't have to beat them in the head with it, you know, as I had done when I first started. I beat you down with it, and sometimes I've still been known to beat you a little bit with this knowledge, but it's only because, you know, you just want someone to understand what you're understanding. And what we got to understand is that sometimes people are at different levels of understanding. You know, it takes sometimes going through some things. Sometimes God got to whoop you and beat you up a little bit before you're receptive. And as my pastor preached today, one of the first things you got to understand before God can work in you, you have to repent. You know, you got to clear some things out so he can come in. He's not going to force his way in. I don't think he forces his way into your life. And sometimes I'm a little pushy, so I have to work on that myself, because I want people to have the same understanding of God I got. And I got to understand they're not there yet. And that's one of the problems I think you may have as well, because once you see, now that you know the truth, Dave, you've been exposed to the truth. How are you going to balance it out where you don't offend nobody? Just tell me how you're going to, because it's easy to say, okay, now I know what he's talking about, but do you really know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's easy to offend people with God. How are you going to balance that out?
Well, God said that Christians will be persecuted. You know, being offensive by speaking the word is nothing new.
Yeah.
You know, we've been persecuted over the years, and that's not going to stop. I don't think I'll really worry about being offensive. I think actions and living the way you live, the way you are as a human being will speak. I'm not one of the ones like you, Minister Johnson. I don't have the words. I'm not a big speaker. My lifestyle is more of the way I speak to people, and the way people see the way I act, and the way that they see a consistent person doing the same positive things every day. That's the way I want to come across to the young people. I want them to actually see a role
if someone saw you a year and a half from today,
oh Lord,
and they saw you today, what would they say about you that's different?
You said a year and a half ago,
yeah,
or a year and a half.
A year and a half ago versus now, versus today, the David that I'm in the studio right now looking at, what would they say is so different about this David today?
Peace. They can feel peace. There's a peace that I've been told that you can see. I mean, that's on the physical appearance. That's probably the biggest difference is, and I smile a lot more. Yes, I'm happy now. I'm very happy, and I'm content, and the peace.
What would you think your kids would say if they saw you today? They're going to see you soon. What would they say today versus the father they saw a year and a half ago that was different? What would they say about you as your characteristics?
Well, you have to ask them. Hopefully they would say they would be happy. Hopefully they would be inspired, and again, you know, this is the way that I plan on teaching not only my children but the young adults that I'm going to be working with is just by my actions, and hopefully, you know, God willing, I'll be able to lead a good example for all the young people that I'm going to be able to touch in my life.
I got a question. While you was out there in the world, did you witness a lot of other people's families being destroyed? And
no.
And what was that? Did you get any guilt feeling as to your own children while you were seeing some of the destructiveness in other people's situations? I mean, how did you view all of that?
No, it was terrible. It's, like you mentioned earlier, it's ugly out there. It's a dark, terrible, destructive, sad, very, very sad.
So did you feel some guilt?
Oh, guilt? Yes. Yes. The answer to that question is yes. Not only for myself, but I felt guilty and sorry for some of the families that I not only I saw, but I affected when I was in deep in my addiction. So guilt is very, very high.
Well, that's a good thing. Let me tell you about guilt. If you fail to have guilt, then chances are you really going to be in a lot of trouble. Guilt is one of those things that you have that tells you something is wrong. It tells you that there is a deficiency inside you. But when you don't have guilt, your body will never respond. It will never respond to change or would want to change because there's no guilty feeling. So I'm grateful that you have that guilt because sometimes that can be the biggest motivator when you're really ready to straighten yourself out, looking at it from that perspective, you know, it can be a uplifting event. Or it can, if you have no guilt, then it'll let you know where you are. You know, have you seen people that seem to have no guilt?
Oh, plenty. And, you know, that world is, it feels so good to speak of it in the past now, but that world is filled with guilt, shame, just so many unspeakables that now I have a new measuring point, and it's called fear.
Right.
I went from guilt to fear. So and my fear is for my Lord. I fear God, and I'm saying this in a way that it keeps me humble, it keeps me faithful, it keeps me obedient, because I know that without him, I couldn't be where I am right now. So that fear keeps me
on. Fear is a good thing. God wants you to fear for your salvation, because if you don't have any fear for your salvation, you might not care what salvation is. Now, I talk a lot about salvation, and salvation is an important thing, because what it is that you're no longer committing blasphemy, which means you're no longer rejecting the Lord. Because once you've accepted Christ in your heart as your Savior, if you do something wrong, you're going to be feeling some guilt that will eat you alive. It's like being in a room, the lights are out, and Floyd Mayweather Jr. pounding on your head. You know, I don't think that's going to be a good feeling. You know, I spar with the father, you know, and he's not as good as the son, but I'm sure if it's anything like the son, it had to hurt. You know, so that's the fear it can help you. And so I just want people to be encouraged that if you're going through some guilt and stuff like that, then you just need to recognize that there is a deficiency in your needs. Somehow your needs are not being met. And the God that we serve wants you to have good things and happiness and all those things that everybody here deserves. I the reason why I even decided to do a show like this is because this is an unlimited topic. It should be thousands of callers, just people wanting to understand some methodology into why it is you do what you do and what kind of procedure is going to take you to get things back in track. So in the future, I'm going to be putting out ads and all this other stuff because I want people to start being aware that there's help out there. But if you don't look for it, you don't pursue it with a vengeance like you pursue anything else that you really want. It's funny, you know, people want something else in the world. They go crazy. You want a girl, they pursue it like crazy. They want drugs, they pursue it like crazy. But as far as knowledge and information that's going to help us do better, we have a tendency not to go after it the same way. And, you know, I don't understand what that is, but because me, I desired and I always did, but I can't look at things my way. I know a lot of other therapists I work with always say, I don't understand why they do this. Well, because you haven't probably went through what they've been through or been through the circumstances, and my job is to understand how to help them, not really to necessarily understand how they got in their situation. They're in this situation, and maybe understand how they got there might help you help them, but ultimately you should be trying to help them get to a new level of understanding is that, you know what, give them hope. I hope, Dave, that you're able to restore the hope upon these young men that you're going to be affecting the way that, you know, the way that I hear you talking, because you already, for me, you've lifted me up. This interview has been something I think everybody would be proud to hear you talk now, you know. That it's just a wonderful thing because you're a success story. And I just wish we had more people who could take the time. And yes,
in working.
Yeah, because, you know, that's another thing. I want to, you know, as we get closer, yeah, I want people to understand that it's always an ongoing process. Renewing your spirit each and every day. Renewing your hopes and prayers. Because every morning you need to wake up with a positive attitude. And every morning throughout the day, you need to continue to be in prayer. That's one of the things that's helped me as a therapist, because sometimes while working at the Salvation Army, some of the people I came across, their spirit was not right. And so they had the ability to catch me. Can I tell you, they catched me. And it wasn't a good catch, you know, like Jesus felt when that woman tested, well, who tested me? You know, that's what I was saying, you know, and I had to run to the closet or run to the bathroom and go pray, because their spirit was upon me. And I just, whoa, I was like, Lord, I need your help, because there's something inside of them, you know, that wasn't right on some of the individuals. And even though we have some good people, we have some people that have been out in the streets in the world that when they come across you sometimes, if your spirit's not prayed up, ready for what you're going to encounter, then you're going to be encountering some spirit that's not going to be all together. How are you going to deal when you encounter these evil spirits in some of these clients that have said, I must be first, this selfishness inside? Just tell me, as we conclude this interview, how do you feel you're going to handle evil? Because evil will come upon you, and when it does, what is your plan of attack?
Well, as our pastor speaks very vigorously, we have to armor up every day. You have to armor up, and I do every day, and I will continue to. And you know, I just ask God to bless me with the discernment that I can see. And, you know, I can see this coming. I can be prepared. I'm always on guard. So as long as I'm armored and I know that the battle is everlasting, and that I know that my Father is fighting this war with me, I will be just fine.
Okay, Dave, I'd like to thank you for your time with the professor. Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
I'd like to have you back again in the future, you know, because in the future we'll be answering these phone calls together.
Anytime.
As you get more developed and more into your craft and learn more about the skills. You're going to school right now trying to complete your education.
Yes.
So I know you got a busy schedule, but we're going to be doing this every other week. for you listeners out there, and I want you to feel free to look on the website at revblakejohnson.com, and it'll tell you more short information. It also has a link that'll link you to Station 1 and Station 3, which I'll be on. So I'll be on Station 3 next Sunday and Saturday, actually, 2 days. And then I'll be on Station 1 the week after that, every other week. So I want you to tune in, and if you have friends and people you know that have issues, feel free, because we're going to have other guests as well. I'm planning on having my former pastor as well as my current pastor, Pastor Rohr, Pastor Parker, Pastor Hobson, Pastor Broughton. I plan on having some experts in the field as well, as I say on my introduction. We're gonna attack this problem theoretically, spiritually, psychology-wise. We're going to hit it from every angle. So I want you to tell your friends, tune in on the website, bbsradio.com, Station 1 and Station 3, and just continue to be uplifted and feel comfortable in our show, because we're going to work with you, and we're going to give you some strategies that's going to be effective. So I want to thank you for tuning in. Please tune in later. Hello? Okay, caller, reaching the professor.
Yes, am I supposed to be telling you all my problems here?
Say again?
Yes, my name is Peggy. How are you today?
Okay, I'm having a little rough time with the connection here, okay? Now talk slowly again.
Peggy in California.
You from California?
Yes.
Okay, what can I do with you for here today, caller?
Well, I have a child that I adopted, and the mother just got out of prison, and she's turning him against me. So how do you feel I should deal with that from a clinical standpoint?
Okay, so you have a client, and the mother just got out of prison, and you're trying to... help the lady out? What are you trying to do with her? What are you trying to figure out?
Well, at this point, I'm trying to tell her about God. That's what I do. But the point is, my child, who is now 18, who's been calling me every day for 11 and a half years since I adopted him, says that I'm bugging him now when I call him on his phone, and she answers the phone. So we can't even talk to him. And, you know, so how do we deal with that?
Okay. I don't know if you were listening to the early part of the show.
No,
we had a caller call in, and it's going to really revolve the same kind of strategy. When you're dealing with someone who's trying to search for their parent, who's trying to get a relationship from someone that they may not have been involved with, you can't really interfere with that, because that desire to get to know that parent is really strong. So what I suggest for you is that you be patient and let that child experience what he needs to experience. Because by doing that, you will show the child that you love the child, and then you're not holding on to the child with fear. You're holding on with that child with love. So by being patient and allowing them to experience what they're going to go through, just let that child know that you'll always be there while you're going through what you're going through. You'll be there.
Well, we can't get to talk to him because she won't let him talk on the phone.
Well, maybe see if you can write him a letter or something like that, and hopefully he can get the letter. And then really what I would encourage you to do is pray, because at this point, it's not much sometimes that we can do in situations like that other than pray. And hopefully you prepared him for what will happen in this occasion, so that when it happens, as it's happening now, he will be able to deal with it. And it seems like hopefully you put enough good information that's going to help with
him. We raised him in the Lord. My husband's a pastor, and he knows about God, and we talked about this day. And he says, no, I'm not going to forget about you guys, which is not a problem. But then you can't call.
I do understand your hopes and fears, but what I want to encourage you, especially if you're in the ministry, that you know that it's something that only God can handle, something only God can take care of, and you've done your work. You've done what you needed to do. So at this point now, I think
that's
you need
so,
to
that's
have
so
a
selfish
faith.
Of him, and I'm grateful, you know, of an adopted child to just disregard the adopted parent's feelings.
I don't think the child probably disregarded. I just think right now he just wants to know his background. And we all have a desire to know where we came from. So don't fight that.
Is it
going
to hurt the child to pick up the phone and say, I'm doing okay, or, you know, I'll talk to you later or whatever?
I think you need to be patient, and because you don't want to alienate the child from you. So in this case, don't alienate the child. Be patient with the child and let some time go by. And I assure you, if you put enough inside of him, he shall return. The Bible says if you teach the child right, he's going to come back to what he needs to know. So I believe if you've done a good job and you and your husband are ministers, you should have no problem in wondering that he will be okay.
Right.
So I just want to encourage you to just continue to stay in prayer and continue to pray for him, because a lot of times when we intercede for people, God has a way of taking care of everything. And pray for his safety. And if you do talk to the mother, maybe ask if there's anything you could do for her. And maybe try to reverse this situation, be nice to her.
I wrote her when she was in prison and sent her Bible tracts and told her about God and different things and, you know, invited to our church, you know. So I'm doing my part as a Christian to help her. But as a parent, you know.
Continue to be patient with her. Continue to work with her, you know. And just because he's just out of jail, when you've been in the system for a long time, sometimes you don't change your ways right away.
This woman has never seen this child. They took him at birth. So this is the first time she's seen him in 18 years.
Okay,
this is
a stop for her then, too. So just be patient. Let this newness wear out, and then, you know, things will take a different course. Just be patient and know that you've done a good job. If you know that you've done a good job, stay on your knees and pray constantly, continuously and ceaselessly. Don't lose your faith. That's all I want to leave you with today as we're getting close to the end of our show. And just thank you. Call back in 2 weeks and give me an update as to what's going on. And email me on blakejohnson85@gmail.com. And I'll be glad to go in any more greater detail if you need to, and some strategies that you can use that's sensible.
Right. Yeah,
because
we love everybody. You know, we love the lady.
Okay.
You know.
But listen, my time is running out, but I just want to thank you for tuning in. And please call back and email me and give me an update, and I'll gladly give you some free strategies over the line. So thank you for your time, caller. And as I conclude this show, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. And tune back in and check on revblakejohnson.com and bbsradio.com, station 1 and 3. Thank you, and see you next week.